Appreciate the good testimonies today. And I'd like to call your attention to a scripture reading. I'd like to ask for your prayers. If you'd like to read along with me, turn to the 12th chapter of Exodus. And I want to begin reading in Exodus chapter 12, verse 43, and read into the first part of the 13th chapter as well. Exodus chapter 12, begin reading together with verse 43. And the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. There shall no stranger eat thereof. But every man's servant that is bought for money, when thou hast circumcised him, then shall he eat thereof. A foreigner and an hired servant shall not eat thereof. In one house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth aught of the flesh abroad out of the house, neither shall ye break a bone thereof. All the congregation of Israel shall keep it. And when a stranger shall sojourn with thee, and will keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it. And he shall be as one that is born in the land, for no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. One law shall be to him that is homeborn, and unto the stranger that sojourneth among you. Thus did all the children of Israel, as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And it came to pass the selfsame day that the Lord did bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their armies. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, sanctify unto me all the firstborn, whatsoever openeth the womb, the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine. And Moses said unto the people, remember this day in which ye came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. And that's reading there in the book of Exodus, chapter 12, verse 43, and on through the first three verses of the 13th chapter for a scripture reading. Now the Lord has placed this thought upon my heart, and throughout this week has just been bringing it back and back to my heart and mind. And I want to try to share with you today the things that the Lord has impressed me with. And I want to speak about what we really have read here in the third verse of Exodus chapter 13. And I'm going to use from that verse this for a title, Remembering the Day. Remembering the Day. And this was something that God told them through the mouth of Moses, that they were to always remember. Never let it slip away from them. Never let it elude their memory. But to always remember the day that God brought them out of bondage. And I want to speak about that, and perhaps the reason that it would be so important to for them to always have that in their remembrance. Now, the Lord, as we read here in the 12th chapter, and you can go back to the beginning of the 12th chapter, and you can read about how that the Lord instituted an ordinance among them that would cause them, every time that they observed the ordinance, would cause them to think and reflect upon this day, and that was the ordinance of the Passover. That was an ordinance that the people of Israel were to keep. God had given them a certain time of the year, a certain month, a certain day of that month that they were to observe the Passover, and it was to be an ordinance that would bring to their remembrance what God had done for them in bringing them out of Egypt. Just as the Lord's Supper that the Lord instituted and placed in his church for us today is an ordinance whereby whenever that we observe it, we remember that which the Lord has done for us. And that's what that ordinance is about remembering Jesus and remembering what it was that he did for us, as we have sung about here this morning in a few songs, when he went to the cross and died for our sins, and his body was broken and his blood was shed for us. And I want to ask everybody here today, as I try to bring before you today the thoughts that the Lord has given me, I want to ask for the participation today of everybody that has been saved. As I try to share these things with you today, I want to ask you to go back in your minds. You know, memory is a wonderful thing. I mean, it really is a great thing that God has given us the ability to remember things that happened years and years ago, that we can recall them from time to time. There are some things, I'm sure, for all of us, if you've lived very long on the earth, there are things for all of us that have happened along the way that probably we would like to just forget. But certainly there are things that need to be remembered. And so it's a wonderful thing that we're able to do that. So I want to ask everybody today that knows the Lord, that's had an experience of salvation, to go back in your mind, in your memory, to that place where the Lord saved you by his grace, because God would have us to never forget about that. And, you know, we could ask the question, and I want to answer that today, because certainly in making a statement like that, I believe the question could be asked, well, would that be possible? I mean, could a person actually forget about that and not remember it? And I want you to think about these scriptures that's found in the first chapter of 2 Peter, beginning with verse 5. It says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to what this ninth verse says here. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. And I'm going to tell you what I believe can happen, and I believe that this is perhaps one of the reasons where it is so important for us to reflect on that which God has done for us, and to call that to our remembrance from time to time, and never let that slip away from us. Because I really believe that what the Apostle Peter wrote here, I believe that he was saying that it's possible for a person that has truly been born again, a person that has been saved, if they don't serve the Lord, if they don't yield themselves to the Lord the way that they should and add to their faith these things that should be added, and give their life over to God, I believe that oftentimes There are people that get saved, and the first thing you know, they've stopped assembling with the people of God. They've stopped coming to church. They have allowed the world to influence them in such a way that their life eventually reaches a point where they're living from day to day without ever even hardly giving a thought to what God did for them when He saved them. Yes, I believe that can happen to a person that has been saved. And so we need to exercise this, I believe. We need to exercise our mind and our hearts and bring this to remembrance, lest we ever let it slip away from us what God did for us on the great day that He saved us. I've thought about this week, I've thought about testimonies that I've heard right here in this place, right here among people here that I have heard testify. I thought about Brother Jackson, the times that he's testified and pointed up here and said, right up there, that was the place that the Lord saved me. I thought about Sister Donna's testimony of what God did for her when she was a 15-year-old girl. I've heard her relate that, what Sister Lori speaks about, the testimony that she gives of what God did for her at the age of 9, and Brother Dallas at the age of 12, and Brother Strode, I believe, at the age of 12, and Brother Mike Wheat when he was an 11-year-old boy. And I've thought about Brother Lowe's testimony of how that in his late 20s, about how that he came to that revival, and God, I've heard him use the words, God just upset his whole world, just knocked his props out from under him. And so, you know, we testify about this because it's something that we can go back to, something that we can remember. And I thought about the Apostle Paul as we find recorded there in the 26th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, how that when he was making his defense, Paul was under arrest. If you, beginning with about the 21st chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, when Paul was arrested there in Jerusalem, and for the rest of that book, it's about his imprisonment and his defense, and oftentimes when he would stand in defense of what he was doing and what he had been arrested for and the reason that he was doing the things that he was doing, you know what he would do? He would begin to tell people about his experience of salvation there on the road to Damascus. He would let people know why he was doing the things that he was doing, why he was serving Jesus the way that he was, because of what God had done for him there as he journeyed to Damascus. And there in the 26th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, he was sharing that with Agrippa. As he stood before King Agrippa, he told him what the Lord had done for him on the road to Damascus. And when I read those things, I think about the Apostle Paul was not ashamed at all of what God had done for him. He was not ashamed to lift up his voice and tell anybody about that. You know, I wonder sometimes if we, when we are assembled together here, you know, we have a kindred spirit one with another, and we have a pretty comfortable situation and pretty comfortable surroundings here. And so perhaps it's not very hard for us share our experience one with another, but are we willing to share that among the people of this world? Are we ashamed of Jesus ever? Are we ever backwards about telling people? You know, will you tell your worldly friends what He did for you the same as you will your Christian friends? We shouldn't we? And the Apostle Paul, no matter who it seems, no matter who he was standing before, whether it was his Jewish brethren that didn't really understand the spiritual birth, or whether he was standing before a king that really didn't know anything about it, he was never backwards and never shy about telling what the Lord had done for him. Why should you and I today, why should we constantly remind ourselves, why should we remember that day and what the Lord has done for us? Well, let's go back for a moment to the verses that I have read here in the 12th and 13th chapter of the book of Exodus. We're talking about a nation of people that had been in slavery. We're talking about a nation of people that had been in bondage, bitter bondage, hard bondage. They were made to work very hard. The Egyptians placed many hardships upon them and made them gather brick and made them build cities for them, and they used them as slaves. They were in this bondage for hundreds of years. And I'll tell you what, if you want some really good reading, you take your Bibles and you start with the third chapter of Exodus, where the Lord spoke to Moses out of that burning bush, and you read on through about the 12th chapter, those 10 chapters of God revealing himself to Moses and revealing his plan to Moses, and actually with his great power bringing these people out of that bitter bondage that they were in. I'll tell you what, that's better than any novel you're ever going to read. Great story. The Lord appeared to Moses, and he said, I have surely seen the afflictions of my people, and I've heard their cries by reason of their taskmasters, and I'm come down to deliver them. And so after hundreds of years of these people being in bondage, God came and wrought by his mighty power many miracles upon the Egyptians there. And by the power of his great hand, he brought these people out of that bondage. He delivered them from that slavery. He delivered them from the Egyptian yoke. And he brought them out with great substance. And I'll tell you what, those of us that have been saved, listen, there was a time for all of us when we were in a much greater bondage than what the children of Israel were in Egypt. The Apostle Paul spoke about that bondage, and he reminded the Ephesians of that bondage in the second chapter of Ephesians, when he said, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. So the bondage that we were in was not that of being naturally incarcerated or being made to serve as slaves. I'm telling you, the devil had us in his clutches. We were in the bondage of sin. And I'll tell you what, had it not been for the great power that God wrought in our lives, we'd still be there, wouldn't we? What did God do for us when he saved us? What did God do for us when we called upon his name? I'll tell you what he did. He graciously and with great mercy, he forgave us of our sins. He placed our feet upon a rock. Listen, if you've had this experience that the psalmist spoke about in the 40th chapter of Psalms, when he spoke about how that the Lord had brought him up from the miry clay, placed his feet upon a rock, and established his goings, and put a new song in his mouth, even praise unto God. If you've experienced that, you better never forget about it. Don't ever forget. Always keep it fresh and in the forefront of your mind the day that God brought you out of bondage brought you out, I'll tell you what the miry clay is. It's the yoke of sin. It was the bondage that our soul was in. The Lord lifted us out of that and placed our feet upon a rock and established our goings and made it possible for us, as we sang this morning about praising the Lord Jesus. And we certainly ought to praise Him for what He's done for us. I want you to think about, I want to share with you some of the songs that we are familiar with, some of the songs that people have written about this very thought. We sing a song from time to time. I can tell you the time. I can take you to the place where the Lord saved me by His wonderful grace. Or how about this one? I remember the day when the Lord saved me. All of heaven came down. I was happy and free. Are you going back? Is your mind going back to that experience? Remember what it felt like? Boy, I do. When I really begin to think about it, it's just as fresh in my mind today as it was the moment it happened. Remember how your soul felt the very moment that He delivered you from the bondage of sin. Woo! Remember that burden that rolled away and that peace that came in. Well, I mean, you talk about a change. That's quite a change, isn't it? I remember the day when the Lord saved me. All of heaven came down. I was happy and free. Glory filled my soul, for I knew the Lord had made me whole. I shall never forget the day when the Lord saved me. Brother Strode sings to us from time to time, there's a spot that will always be sacred to me while the years of this pilgrimage roll. Its beauty is vivid in my memory, where Jesus spoke peace to my soul. And you know what? We've heard Brother Strode talk about oftentimes when he sings that about his spot there at Capitol Hill. He took me there one day. And I didn't even really know. We were out visiting, riding around visiting some old churches, and I didn't even really realize where we were at. Brother Strode took me into this church building there in the country, and I was just standing there looking around, and all of a sudden I heard him say, there's my spot. Remember that spot? Remember that place where you were at when the Lord saved you? Well, you know what? It doesn't really matter if it was in a nice church building or in a drainage ditch, does it? It's not the place. It's what happened there. How about the song that most of us have probably heard that Brother Jeff Moran wrote? Dear to me, there is a place that's dear to me. It's where the Savior set me free, and His Spirit came to live within my heart. To me, that place is holy ground, for it was there His love I found. And from that moment, it has been so dear to me. And in the chorus of that song, he wrote, if I live to 99, I'll never forget that time. Now, these lyrics have been written by different people. These song lyrics have been written by people that were going back and they were remembering what it was that the Lord did for them when He saved them by His grace. And so God forgave us of our sins. He washed us in the blood of the Lamb, and He made us His children, and He made it possible for us to have a home in heaven when this life is over. In fact, he gave us a home in heaven when this life is over. He didn't just make it possible. He gave us that when he saved us. We're going to heaven because of what the Lord did for us. We'll never know the torments of the lower world. We'll never know anything about hell because of that experience that we had with God. I've heard many people testify to the fact that it's the greatest thing that ever happened to me. It's the greatest day of my life. So why not remember it? Why not remember it? You know, we let too many worldly things, I'm afraid, distract us. You know, that's exactly what the devil wants us to do. He doesn't want us to be reflecting on this. He doesn't want us to be remembering this. And so we let too many things of the world. Listen, don't ever think that it can't happen to any of us. We can get so wrapped up in daily life. We can get so wrapped up in trying to keep up with the things of this world, that the first thing you know, your mind and your heart are so distracted by things that you're hardly even thinking about who you are, about where you came from. I'm telling you something, if you're here today and you're not saved, you can be. I mean, God has the greatest gift for you that you'll ever know. You'll have to repent of your sins and you'll have to trust the Lord Jesus just like all of us did. But he has the greatest gift. God can make this day the best day of your life if you'll let him, if you'll give in to him. I want to encourage the young Christians. You know, when you're growing up, you're coming into adulthood, you're reaching a time in your life when you're going to be making decisions about where you're going, about what you're going to be doing. You might be getting ready to go to school. Listen, don't let the things of life distract you. Amen. Don't let those things, don't allow yourself to get wrapped up in those things to the point that you forget. You forget about what the Lord did for you. Always remember the day that he brought you out of bondage. That's what he wanted the children of Israel to do, to never forget the day that the Lord brought them out of bondage. Don't ever forget the day that the Lord saved you by his grace and what it was that he did for you. The Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, he said, "Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you of the hope that's in you with meekness and with fear." No matter who you're around, don't ever be ashamed. Don't ever be backwards. Don't ever be unwilling to tell anybody what the Lord did for your soul. There was a man we read about in the fifth chapter of the Gospel of Mark. There was a man that the Lord cast demons out of, and he wanted to go follow Jesus right then. And the Lord said, "No, I want you to go home, and I want you to tell your friends what great things the Lord has done for you." So let's don't ever forget. Always keep it before us what the Lord did for us when he brought us out of the bondage of sin, brought us out of the miry clay, placed our feet upon a rock, and established our goings. And I'll tell you what, if you want to tell about it today, I'd be glad to hear it. You know what? If we spend the afternoon here of God's people testifying about what God did in their life, that's good for me. I love to hear God's people share their experience. And I want to give anybody that opportunity. I'd like for us to have a song. If you're here today and you're lost, you have a great opportunity to seek the Lord for salvation. You do. God has given you this time, and you need to take advantage of that while we stand and sing.
Number